Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe, and I came across a headline this week, something along the lines of, this summer, send your kids not to summer school, but to well-being school.
Which I'm
or
not...
take time to, instead of getting them back on course academically, emotionally. This summer is all about emotions for kids.
There are a lot of parents out there. I've spoken to quite a few of them who are concerned. In fact, last night, spoke to one of them who are concerned that their child or children have lost a bit academically this year. They didn't have that face-to-face teaching. They had did some of it digitally, some of it offline, and just didn't quite, you know, do all the work. And is my child behind? And there are a lot of parents who are really concerned about that, but it sounds like
that is certainly the case. But this study out of Bath, England, says that what kids have lost emotionally over the past year due to the lockdowns and the pandemic is much more significant than any academic holes that might be there. And we're going to talk to one of the researchers who did this study. Her name is Maria Lodes, and she is a clinical psychologist at the University of Bath in England.
Science Unscripted.
I'm Maria Lodes, and I am a lecturer in clinical psychology at the University of Bath. And I'm really interested, particularly in this pandemic, at how loneliness is related to mental health and distress in young people.
So Maria, you, as I understand it, you surveyed quite a few adolescents. And my question is, which of those young people had the toughest time during the pandemic?
We found that young people who were particularly lonely were more distressed. We also found that young people who were closer to their parents were doing better. And young people who kept in touch more with their friends, particularly via like video or voice calls rather than just texts, so in real time, were doing better.
Maria, how did you conduct your study? Who were these kids that you were talking to?
We collected data from a large group of teenagers and their parents. And about 900 young people aged 11 to 16 did complete our questionnaires. They tended to be from higher socioeconomic status families in general.
I was talking to my eldest daughter last night. I actually was doing this, and I asked her, over the past year, what sometimes being isolated from her friends was like. And the one thing that she did say was that when she was alone or couldn't play with them, she sometimes had the feeling, for whatever reason, that they didn't want to play with her. That was one thing that she said. And I'm wondering, for the kids out there who did deal with a lot of loneliness over the past year, where do you start healing those mental invisible scars? Like, as a parent, what can you do for them emotionally?
I think a key thing is making sure that they've got the space to talk about their feelings. So that's a lovely example where you've asked your daughter a question and she's told you how she's feeling. And talking about our feelings is incredibly therapeutic. We know that a lot of formal therapies are all about talking, aren't they? And actually expressing how young people are feeling is really important. So as a parent, making sure that our children know that we're there for them and that we are open to hearing and listening to how they're feeling. But also finding the ways to gradually encourage them. It's going to be really hard. I think it's been really hard for all of us, whatever our age, to go back to doing things we used to do. And actually, there's a new normal, isn't there? We still can't do things the way that we might have done in the past. So really finding the small steps to help them to reconnect. You know, what's the first step that they can make to help them to reconnect? How can we support that? How can we give them that space to think about what they've been through and to make sense of that? I think those are really important things as parents.
I guess one question I have, I know you have a lot of data on children, but I'm sure that in your field you've also seen comparable studies with regard to adults. And I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, I can happily, like many people out there, I can happily spend a Friday evening watching, you know, streaming TV shows and kind of have an isolated weekend and enjoy that calm. But I'm probably very biologically different than a young child. They need different things than I do. Is it fair to say that they have suffered differently through the pandemic than we adults have?
So social life as a teenager is where we start to form our own individual identities and where we start to gain that independence from our families of origin. And these young people in this context have really missed out on that. And I think that's key. You know, they'll have missed out on developing life skills and developing their identity in the ways that they normally do by having those relationships and doing those activities with their friends. So I think we've got a lot to make up for.
Did you encounter any loneliness personally over the past year, and how are you going to deal with it, or how are you dealing with that?
I certainly did. I was really struck by that, and I think that's probably fed my interest in this academically, was that when we all went into lockdown, that was the first thing that I felt was incredibly lonely. And I guess how I'm dealing with it is really making the most of reconnecting with people now that we can, but also continuing to keep in touch via video calls. So, for example, I've got quite a lot of family who live abroad. And one great thing that's come out of the pandemic is we've been doing more group video calls. Again, for my little toddler, that's been amazing because actually he's been seeing my sister who lives abroad on screen every week. And he knows her much better than he would have otherwise, because we've carved out the time for those video calls in a way that we probably just wouldn't in the busy, hectic day-to-day life that we normally lead.
And one last question. How long does it take to heal from a bout of loneliness? Is it something that you can just fix? Or do the effects of it, do they linger?
The longer it's gone on for, the longer it's going to take to heal. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If you've had a long bout of loneliness, it's going to take longer to heal. And I think, you know, what is so unique about this pandemic is that for the first time in many generations, at least, other humans have been a threat to us in a way that that's just not been known for our lifetimes, has it? You know, we've not had to face the idea that actually just anyone on the street might be a huge danger to us. There's been dangers out there, but at a very different level. And the idea that actually, whilst we want to reconnect with each other, also that reconnecting with each other in the context of variants and so on and so forth could mean being a danger to each other is really difficult to manage.
One thing that makes me happy talking to you as a clinical psychologist, as opposed to somebody who, you know, a data scientist or somebody who's just collected data, you have insight into not only the problems you're seeing on paper, but into the potential solutions to those problems. And I know we have parents out there listening right now who are worried about their children's emotional, you know, psychological state. What can they do in the coming months to help their kids most?
I see this summer particularly as a real key time to enable our children and young people to re-establish social connections with each other. And I think that is so important. That's what our data is showing us, both this study and other studies we've done during the last 18 months have really showed us that actually loneliness has been such a problem for young people. So really giving them the time and space to reconnect with each other this summer and to catch up socially and emotionally is so important. You know, I think it's so easy to think about the academic studies they've missed and to want to push them to catch up with their learning. And that is important. I'm not saying that it's not. But what's also important is really giving them that space to catch up socially. So really to enable them to play and to do activities together. And for those who are really, really struggling, also to support them to access help with their mental health.
That was Maria Lodes speaking to us from her home in Bath, England.
With her toddler. Yeah. Presumably, although out of the house at the moment, she said.
One thing I wanted to say, I mentioned that I spoke to my daughter Ava last night about this very topic, and One thing she did say while we were talking, and this is kind of a silver lining, was that because of the loneliness or the social isolation that she did experience during the pandemic, it made her realize or kind of gave her an understanding of what the kids in her class that aren't so popular, or the kids in her class that don't get played with, the ones that aren't the popular ones that everyone wants to play with, what they might be feeling more generally. Like, because of what Ava went through during the pandemic, gave her that kind of empathy.
That's nice.
That was really, really,
possibly
really
the only
cool and great and interesting to hear from her.
The only way that she could get that insight, you know, by going through a pandemic and experiencing that kind of loneliness herself.
Knowing that feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I think our kids did all right. And my one goal I have for the summer is to hopefully, despite my own exhaustion as a parent, and the idea of inviting lots of children over to play with my kids, too many children is also very stressful for me, but to try to drink an extra cup of coffee and just create the space for the kids to run around and be kids again with the pandemic mostly behind them.
Yeah, and as adults, we have to confront and overcome our loneliness too. Connor, let's not forget that.
At least we have each other. If you have anything else you'd like to say, get in touch with us, please. We love your emails. We're su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.